My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith. He represents the Commonwealth's 9th Congressional District, and he is also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. If you are longtime listeners, you also know that he is representative of coal country in southwestern Virginia. He joins me today to discuss his positive reaction to a federal judge smacking down the U.S. Department of the Interior when it comes to fracking. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you today.
This comes from a federal district court judge in Wyoming, and he basically says that the Interior Department does not have the authority to regulate hydraulic fracturing. How important is this decision?
Well, I think it's a very important decision on a couple of different areas. One, obviously, I think fracking is something that we need to do, but I didn't even get into that in my statement because I think it's also extremely important that he sets up the restatement of our founding principle that there's got to be a balance of powers and that some powers are given to the administrative branch of government, i.e. the agencies, and some powers aren't, and unless it's specifically in the Constitution, which obviously this is not, then it has to come from directly from Congress. And he said in looking at the laws, you have to use common sense, and he basically said it made no sense that Congress had intended to give this power to the agency and that they didn't give it to the agency, and therefore the agency was acting outside of its prerogatives, outside of its area where it had power and influence, and that therefore the regulations were unfounded and illegal.
Sir, when it comes to the overall fight over the tension between executive power and legislative power and what the Constitution actually provides for, where do you see this battle heading next? Obviously, you're happy with this decision, but he's not the final word potentially either on this case or certainly on this overall debate. You've got appellate courts, you've got the Supreme Court, which more and more looks like it's tilting left. So where do you see the momentum in this fight right now?
Well, I think the momentum is starting to head back in the direction of the legislative branch. We're seeing more judges pushing back on agencies that take on powers that they don't have. And I think it's important to note that this particular judge is an Obama appointee. So it's not just, you know, former Bush appointees that are making these rulings. There are Obama appointees who are like, wait a minute, the administrative branch of government can't be there. And our freedoms are, in fact, protected. And the judge made point of that. Our freedoms are, in fact, protected. Our liberty is protected when we stick with the Constitution and the three branches of government. And the fact that each one of us, the legislative, executive, and judicial branch, has a role to play, and that other branches shouldn't be stepping into the field that belongs to one of the others, so that the executive branch should not be doing the legislative branch's job, whether you are for fracking or not for fracking.
Sir,
that's what preserves our liberty.
What do you believe is the right role for Congress in this fight? Because obviously there have been some congressional lawsuits filed from Obamacare to other issues. Some of the states have challenged issues like the president's unilateral action on immigration. Your critics, some of which may be fair, some of which may not be, want to know why there hasn't been more defunding efforts, fights to take the administration to court over the Iran nuclear deal and so forth that many believe should have been treated as a treaty, even though the administration didn't. So what reach does the legislative branch really have to fight on these issues, and in what areas don't you?
Well, I think we have to be more aggressive on the funding side. I think we have to hope that the judiciary will recognize that the executive is getting too powerful and overstepping its bounds, getting too big for its britches, as my mama would say. And that's not just the Democrat administration. The Republican administrations have led to this as well. But we in Congress have to be more aggressive and more assertive. Last week, as a part of the Better Way plan that we have been unveiling for the country, we laid out some things that we're going to do constitutionally to try to bring back the powers that we have ceded over the last 50 or 60 years to Congress. I'm excited about those. We won't succeed in all of them. But there's a real interest here that we're not wearing a Democrat jersey or Republican jersey, but that we're going to wear a congressional jersey and protect the prerogatives of the legislative branch, which has not happened in a generation in this country. I'm excited that we're about to embark on that over the next few months and into the next term.
You mentioned that this judge is an Obama appointee, but some of these statements are certainly ones that run contrary to what the president has tried to achieve, especially late in his administration. One sentence says, our system of government operates based on the principle of limited and enumerated powers assigned to the three branches of government. And then it goes on to say Congress's ability or unwillingness to pass a law desired by the executive branch does not default authority to the executive branch to act independently, regardless of whether it's fracking or anything else. So does this mean that there could be more legislation to roll back some EPA regulations that I know you're not happy about related to the coal industry and elsewhere? What could also be triggered by this ruling?
Well, I think you will see more legislation to roll back some of these, frankly, egregious regulations. But I also think you're going to see us looking at the funding stream and saying, if you want your funding, then you don't go in this direction. But we've got to start being more aggressive and making it clear to the agencies that if they are stepping outside their bounds, there's going to be a price to be paid when it comes to budget time.
For those listeners who do remember our previous conversations, obviously it has not been a good 8 years for the coal industry. And Hillary Clinton, earlier in this campaign, said that it would be her goal to put coal companies out of business and coal workers out of jobs. That obviously didn't play very well for her in neighboring West Virginia or in some other states. But what do you make of the past several years, and what's the outlook looking like for your constituents?
Well, in the coal counties that I represent, it's very bleak right now. There's no question that the policies and the war on coal are taking their toll, and the people who are paying the price are the middle class individuals who now don't have jobs and are having to go on the government dole. They don't want to be on the government dole. They want jobs. They want to be able to work. And it really is outrageous that the administration has put these jobs, has gotten rid of these jobs and put more jobs in peril without having a plan. They always say to us, well, you all can diversify. You can go do something different. Well, where's the plan? Where is the concept? Because when you're dealing with a mountainous district, you don't have 2,000 acres. You don't have 200 acres of flat land in most of these areas. And where are you going to put a big business? Where are you going to put a manufacturing site? What are you going to transition the industry and the economy to? And the answer is the administration has no answer. They talk big. Even when Hillary Clinton came to West Virginia, she was like, well, we want to try to help. We want to try to help you all. They talk big, but they're really not doing a whole lot. And just throwing money at it's not going to do it. We have to figure out exactly what industries will work when you have relatively few or limited flat areas to put the buildings in, to put a new industry in. So we have trees, we have mountains, and we have coal. And they've made no plans. They've really just been totally callous when it comes to the American worker in Central Appalachia.
Last question, and you addressed this a little bit in one of your previous responses, but I don't want to let the larger issue that was specifically addressed in this decision get past us here. How important is this decision when it comes to tapping America's domestic energy supplies?
Well, I think it's extremely important. I mean, the bottom line is that fracking does give us more natural gas. It gives us the ability to get more oil. I think it's huge for the American domestic supply. We don't want to be dependent for our energy on foreign sources. I think this is a huge issue, and it's going to be good for the American economy. I hope that the other courts will agree with this judge and understand that, this is a debate for Congress to have, and Congress understands we need the fuel. The renewables are not ready yet to take on the amount of production that we need for electricity. If we're all going to use these devices that we have and we carry around in our pockets, if we're all going to drive electric cars, if we want to keep the lights on, we're going to continue to need coal, natural gas, and oil. And to say otherwise is, quite frankly, foolish.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith represents Virginia's 9th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.